Make sure you get us loud and clear.
Welcome to Used Wigs Radio.
This is the radio station with nothing but...
Lonely. Download some friends.
Hey, this is Eric from the Fruit Bats, and you're listening to UsedWigsRadio.com. On behalf of Used Wigs Radio, I am with my most favorite musical, Eric Johnson. and of course, I said that because, you know, there is the Eric Johnson who, I guess, rose to fame in the 70s?
No, I mean, I think that 80s? It was more like the 90s, was, actually.
Could that be?
He had one... I think he's very well known in like the sort of virtuoso guitar world.
Cliffs of Dover, though, was the big one.
Yeah, was big one.
But again, I'm not here. I don't want to talk to you about him. Of course, this Eric Johnson is.
I should have changed my name when I had the chance.
Well, I was wondering.
I thought that there was too much hubris in that notion of being like, no one's ever gonna care what my name is anyway. So that's yeah.
I was thinking about that because I know that if I'm
sometimes
not mistaken,
I use the middle initial
to separate yourself.
Yeah, and lately I've been trying to push that without being too uptight about it, but it's usually like in press and stuff that the middle initial is in there just to differentiate. But yeah, there's other musical Eric. There's Archers of Loaf and that 90s band, which I love. The guitarist was named Eric Johnson also. And there's an Olympic hockey player named Eric
Johnson. So there are many, there are many talented Eric Johnsons.
Yeah.
And but I was thinking, if I'm not mistaken, David Bowie's original name and given name was
David Jones.
Davy Jones. Yeah. And there was already an English rocker, Davy Jones, so he changed it to David Bowie. But anyway.
Yeah, Michael Keaton is named Michael Douglas originally.
Is that right?
Yeah, yeah.
So there's some redundancy there. But anyway, but the one we're talking to is guitarist for the Shins and creative force behind the Fruit Bats, and also iRobot, which is to me one of the coolest and funniest names of any band I've ever heard of. but I've been a big fan of the Fruit Bats for many, many years, and I think I was originally interested in your folksy kind of whisper rock, which was gaining a lot of momentum and steam in the late 90s and early 2000s, and then your more recent album has a little bit of a different sound. Tell me about that.
That was just
evolution.
I mean, it was just an evolution, just of not kind of wanting to do the same thing over and over again, but and sort of just the desire to have more of a rock band, you know, like sort of being jealous of your friends with real rock bands, and I was like, I'm gonna do that.
Well, and the album Ruminant Band, if I'm not mistaken, does that mean the way that a cow digests, like twice digests curd or something?
Yeah. Yes.
And is that why you chose that? Are you all vegetarian in the band?
No, not at all. It was just a word that I thought has an interesting sound to it, and it has some sort of meaning. Like, people have read a lot of meaning into it, and that's I welcome that. But ultimately, it was just a word that I like the sound of.
The title track is, to me, so fresh but also familiar. I mean, incredibly familiar. The first time I heard it, I felt like it was a cover, or it was kind of a combination, or playing homage to, you know, name any classic 70s rock. Like, it sounded like Grateful Dead and Billy Joel and Led Zeppelin and all these things like that. Just seemed so familiar. It seemed like it wasn't the first time I heard that song. And how do you go about writing a song that is immediately familiar to people on the first listen?
I don't know, really. I mean, I think, like, I think a lot of people are, you know, just what I'm doing is just sort of an amalgamation of like, anything I've ever heard anyway, which most music is. There's only so many notes. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I certainly have, like, a Jones for the classics, I think, and that's what comes out when I do it. But it's not very high concept. I didn't set out as, like, sort of an homage type thing. I just sort of do what I do.
It's just a very natural consumption of these things and regurgitation of,
exactly,
of what you're exposed to.
Which I think a lot of people are, and it just depends on who it's, the filter with which it comes through. I think some great, like, a lot of really good, like, the best stuff is, like, which I would hope to be kind of like, is the stuff where you're too naive to really do it like note for note, like where you're not good enough to do it, so it comes out in an original way or something. So, like, I always thought James from the Shins, too, like my bandmate, he's great because he's trying to sound like this, that, and the next thing, but he actually can't do that. So it just sort of comes out in his own weird style, which is what makes him original. But you know.
And speaking of the Shins, tell me a little bit about balancing being a smaller fish in the bigger pond of the Shins and being obviously a very gigantic fish in the slightly smaller pond of Fruit Bats.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, it's way too different. It's so dramatically different, like, both sides, that I don't even. I can't. It's like comparing apples and oranges, really.
Yeah, you have to have those two components to feel complete as a musician, would you say, for you?
No. No, Fruit Bats is really what makes me feel complete, for sure. Like, that's definitely my favorite thing to do, and yeah.
So if you were to identify or introduce yourself, it would be, even though the listener that you're, or the person that you're introducing yourself to might be more likely to recognize the Shins, you would introduce yourself as
always introduce myself as having a catering company, which is what I used to do.
Yeah?
Yeah, like if I'm
and
on vacation or something, it's like, what do you do? Because if I say Fruit Bats, they're going to be like, who's that? Or, like, you know, 99 of 100 people are going to be like, who's that? And then you have to explain how the music business works, because it's... Yeah. And then with the Shins, like most people have heard of that, and then they're like, oh my God. Like, and then they want to talk about that. And yeah, so I have a catering company, like, officially
World. Talk to me about the album cover of your most recent album. I found to be, and I'm a visual artist, I really thought it was very simple and beautiful. It's kind of a cityscape. And it also reminded me of some of the Shins albums. Is it the same artist?
No. I didn't like that. Yeah, I think like a lot of people thought that kind of looked... It was a similar color scheme to Shoots Too Narrow's cover.
And very flat and like very shape-oriented.
Yeah, and I think probably if I'd have... I didn't notice that. If I didn't notice that, I probably would have had it be a different cover or something, because it's like... I don't care about comparisons, but it's like I've invited enough of them, like, by being in that band and everything. But no, that's done by a guy named Andrew Holder, who's an LA artist. And I wanted a there's so many, like, my music is so like nature based. I wanted it to be something sort of more urban looking or something,
like
so.
A juxtaposition.
Yeah,
of, yeah,
yeah.
So, above and beyond having to have a visual component in the album cover, and of course the little picture that floats in whatever music player you're listening to. Talk to me about the relationship of music for you and other art forms, whether it be visual art or literature, or are you inspired by, or do you hope to someday be writing music that gets into TV or
well,
cinema?
I mean, I've had like a lot of songs get into TV just through like placement and whatever, and you know, licensing firms or however that works, which is cool. But I mean, like, I'm definitely always been interested in film. And they, like, every buddy in a rock band wants to score film. Or not everybody, but that's like, that's a pipe dream for a lot of dudes. So.
Well, the old saying is that what all musicians want to be actors and all actors want to be musicians.
Totally, yeah, and I have a lot of friends who are actors and comedians and stuff, and yeah, the grass is always greener on the other side. I mean, I would love to do that, but I hate talking about it too, because it's just like, it's such a cliche. I'm just like, maybe someday I'll do it. But yeah, just sort of quietly like to think about that stuff, but...
And born and lived most of your early life in Chicago.
Yes.
And then now you live on the West Coast in Seattle?
In Portland, actually.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
And been to Philadelphia a few times. How does the music scene differ, and how does the audience differ in different pockets and parts of our country, would you say?
I don't know, really. I mean, like, I think, like, usually the smaller the town, the more diverse of a crowd you're going to get. Like, if you're in a really small town, and there's not much going... You know, like, we played in Spain in a town called Pontevedra, which is, like, in Galicia, Spain... beautiful part of the country, and it's like, I think there's a university there and stuff too, but it's a kind of a small town. We did a show with Vetiver there, and it was like, I think like 400 people came, like, and it was like grandmas and children and whoever, because it was just such a small town, and you're like the one thing that's going on. That
oh, I see. So yeah, right. So in a bigger city, there are so many options on any given night, then people can kind of really seek out what it is that they're specifically interested in.
Yeah, exactly.
As if you are the entertainment, I got you.
Yeah. So, and maybe by diverse, I mean more like age-wise or just what worlds they're coming from. I mean, obviously, you're generally not playing in like just a completely tiny small town out of nowhere. Usually, there's some sort of university component.
And do you find the response is very positive, even though there are people there that may not be aware of who you are or what you do before?
Yeah, you just never know. And with Fruit Bats, like, I can say, because we have a highly ranging crowd size every night, sort of depending, you know, like, be a lot of people in Chicago or New York or LA or something like that, and then not a ton of people in, like, Orlando. We played, like, or we played Birmingham, Alabama, and there wasn't, like, a ton of people. And I'm always appreciative of whoever wants to come, you know, like, put on the same show regardless, but...
Sure, you can't punish people that came.
Yeah, exactly.
Right.
they're the you know, however many people that came, but I find, like, yeah, there's no rhyme or reason with fruit bats, and especially when you have huge sort of size differences like that. With the with the Shins, for example, it's the same crowd every single night. Like, and you're much further away from them as well, but it's like you could pretty much bust the same people anywhere in the world.
Yeah.
And it kind of feels the same.
Gotcha.
It's generally going to be this sort of the same reaction and the same feeling, but with the fruit bats, you don't really know. It could be, we've played in front of just like wasted people dancing and going absolutely crazy, and then sometimes we'll have very respectfully quiet, like very little applause but very attentive, and then everything in between. So
do you appreciate or even go as far as say prefer playing a more intimate to a more intimate group with the fruit bats over the larger crowds for the Shins?
Sure. Yeah, I do. Like, I know everybody always says that, but it really is true. And I think most people would agree with that. Like, most artists, like, it's really fun being on a huge stage, 10 feet off the ground, and with lights and stuff like that, and you sort of whatever, but yeah, with a smaller crowd, there's an energy transference, obviously, like, happening, and
a certain level of devotion, I think, on the attendees,
yeah.
By the attendees.
Yeah, absolutely. But no, I like having, like, we played a show in Santa Barbara, California, last year at this really small venue that was very sold out. We played on the floor. There was not even a stage, and there was literally people my height, you know, standing in front of me, eye to eye, like 6 inches away, because they were pushed up as far
like
as
you're having
they
a conversation
go.
With
yeah,
them.
Yeah, there was no lip of the stage or anything. Like, we were sort of one, you know, like all together. So, and there wasn't a stage, so people had sort of enveloped us. So we were sort of just kind of playing in this on the floor in this semicircle with people just right on our level, and that was great, you know, like that was there's certainly
like a schoolyard fight
exactly
the way that was arranged.
Exactly.
Well, if I had to ask you again, we are Philadelphia based and we love catching people coming through, especially with perspectives from elsewhere. If you had to give a one word description of Philadelphia, either as a place to play music or a place to visit and come through occasionally, can you give me one positive word and one negative word?
I can't give one word descriptions of anything. Like, that's sort of impossible. I have all kinds of, like, I've had all kinds of experiences in Philadelphia, actually. Like, some really crazy ones, like when we played at the Khyber Pass, like, on a Saturday night, and it was just, like, the most insanely depraved scene I've ever seen. Just, like, I saw a guy running down the street with a beard of puke, like dripping off of his face,
yeah.
And, like, just, like, and there was riot police out, and I was like, what's happening? And they're like, nothing, it's
nobody.
Saturday night.
Saturday night in Philadelphia.
Yeah. Yeah, that was nuts, and that was after having driven 12 hours that day in, like, crazy traffic and stuff like that, but
I think Philadelphia, if you had to describe it in a few words, or one or two words, beard puke, I think would be a fair
that
description.
That would be the bad thing, is beard puke.
Yeah.
But I love Philly. I don't know. Like, I'm from Chicago. I feel like there's a kinship. There's something similar about, even though they're different parts of the country, there's sort of something similar about the two cities.
Well, and you can tell when it comes to the sports fans are kind of a similar ilk, so consequently maybe everything else, you know, you begin to recognize some similarities.
It's
so.
More, it's just a, it's a real city, which is what Chicago is too. It's a real city without pretense and without that sort of microscope that New York or California or something has on. It's just, it's more of a quintessential place, which I think is a great thing.
Yeah. Well, and I know this is your first time playing
so
quintessential. Oh, quintessential?
Yeah, that would be, there's my one word.
I'll take that.
Yeah.
And this is your first time at Johnny Brenda's, and having covered lots of people, this is one of our favorite venues. You know, it's really cool. So have a great show.
Thanks.
I'm thrilled to see it. Yeah, I've been a fan for a long time. So
awesome.
Knock 'em dead. I know you will.
I'll try.
Baby, remember on the bus and my hand was on your. Somebody, it's hard to think about anything but to breathe. Baby, I am the cub who was washed out in the Out hard.